हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Enumeration of Lila Avatars and Vibhutis, page 18. Okay, the independent form is called Swayam Rupa. The Tadekatma Rupa is not different from Swayam Rupa, but is dependent on it. Avesha Rupa is a special jiva, whom the Lord has given powers. There are two types of Tadekatma Rupa, Tadsama and Tadamsha. Okay, so yeah, that's the Tadamsha. Tadsama is the Vilas forms, the Tadamsha is the Swamsa forms.
Yes,
Yeah. There are three types of Avesha, empowered with Bhakti, Jnana, or Kriya. So he sees that either they... the aspect of the understanding of things, the action that one is performing, that kind of potency, or the devotion. So you see is that all three aspects of, you know, either in Sambandhavide or Prayojana features. And so all of those are connected to Krishna. Right? And so what's happened in the material world is we've disconnected these three from Krishna. So the knowledge is all in context of ourselves, the activities and the results are all in context of ourselves, that devotion, that happiness, and it's all in context of ourselves. And so it's not that we're changing the principles of what's going on. It's just that we're connecting it to Krishna. That's the main thing. The detail of it, that's helpful because it reminds you of Krishna. Right? So that's the whole point. But the main point is that the remembrance of Krishna. So that's why it may seem confusing that sometimes we talk about the importance of the detail and sometimes we say the detail is not important. You know, it's the principle. So I mean, between the principle and the detail, if you have the detail and not the principle, that's not good. You have the principle and the detail, then that's proper. Now, if in having the principle in detail, the emphasis might be on the detail because we're not so focused on the principle of Krishna, then that's progressive. Then when it gets where it's focusing on the principle, and the detail is just is a secondary aspect that is performed depending upon the situation, then that's the natural position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the tendency is, that's why I was saying before, is that in the... Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs on the Upadeshamrita, then he's making the point is that we see things in connection, means when it's because it's connection with ourselves, then we see the principle is our happiness. So therefore we'll give up any rule and regulation for our happiness. And at the same time, is if there's some element that we find is good for us in some way or another, then we're very to the letter of the law. Right? Because in that case, you could say on the mundane platform, they have both the points together. The principle is, I'm happy, I'm the son of the universe, and these details help me. And at the same time, we have the spontaneous aspect, this looks pleasing to me, so I do it. I don't care about any of the rules. So as this happens, the living entity has become more, you know, I turned away from Krishna. So those who are better at the material world, they're spontaneously material. Right? At the same time, is that's So what's the highest on the spiritual platform is the lowest tier. So when one is so absorbed in themselves and is clever enough to see everything in context of themselves and follow that train of effect, then they are successful materialists. So that becomes the difficulty, is that we're taking it that the situations and the activities, the results, you know, the samanavideya prayojana, that being mechanically done properly, then is important. When it's devotion is important, and then because it's for Krishna, therefore the samanavideya prayojana elements, then they are done very nicely so that we get nice results for Krishna. But when we don't see Krishna as the main in here, Krishna is not our consideration, then we drop the rules because I don't see the benefit. Right? And I keep the rules if I see the benefit. So that's why Niyamagraha and Niyamagraha are both a problem, because it's not Krishna-centered. Otherwise, you see is that the transcendental platform, some rules are following because they support the devotional practice, some rules are not. And when we say some rules and some rules are not, these are not the basic ones that we're given. That's not like, oh, he's so good at English language, he even drops out, you know, he doesn't need the letters anymore, he doesn't need the words anymore, the punctuation, he doesn't need anything anymore. It's just so perfect. No, those remain. Right? So otherwise, where's the form? So because of the impersonalism, we think the form can be dropped also. Does this make any sense? Yeah. Okay. So therefore then you see all three aspects of these Avesha Rupas, that they are showing each of the aspect of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana as an emphasis to bring out how to do everything in connection with Krishna. You know, like the example given of Prithu Maharaj is for Kriya. And so you see, he's an emperor, he's managing the whole his empire. And so then he's doing all that in connection with Krishna. So if you're talking about Kriya, no one has more Kriya than a Kshatriya. And of Kshatriyas, then a king, and of kings, an emperor. There's no more management than that. You know, it's just like with the demigods, enters the top. Right? Because it's about performing action. So here is then that Kriya, then in that you can see everything's connected to Krishna. And in Jnana, then you see the four Kumaras, they're not interested in anything, their renunciation. And all the knowledge, they can see everything in this connection with Krishna, you know, by the knowledge of how it is. And then for Narad Muni, as the example of bhakti, then everything is seen in context of bhakti. So, you know, in that way, then we get the very nice examples. Yeah? As far as vibhuti forms are concerned, those jivas who manifest very little of the Lord's power are categorized as vibhutis. Right, so if there's a good amount, then it's avesha. And if it's very small, then it's a vibhuti. Avesha forms are the jivas who manifest more power and thus are called directly empowered forms, whereas vibhutis are called indirectly empowered forms. You know, like let's say a beautiful landscape, that's vibhuti. Like that. Srila Rupa Goswami elaborates on this aspect in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 2, as follows. If the forms previously described, Swayam Rupa, Tade Katma, or Avesha, appear in this world as ever unique, either directly or through an agent, for certain purposes in the material world, they are known as avatars. The agent of the Lord's appearance may be a Tade Katma Rupa, the Lord, or a devotee. Mahavishnu lying on Sesha is an example of the Tade Katma Rupa agent, cause of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And Vasudev, father of Krishna, is an example of a devotee acting as agent. The avatars are generally the Swamsa and Avesha forms. The appearance of the Swamsa Rupa and the Vilas forms is sometimes seen. Or Swayam Rupa, yes. I was thinking, why does it say that twice? Okay. There are six types of incarnations, avatars of Krishna. One comprises the incarnations of Vishnu, Purusha avatars, and another comprises incarnations meant for performance of pastimes, Lila avatars. There are incarnations that control the material qualities, Guna avatars. Incarnations associated with the reign of each Manu, Manvantara avatars. Incarnations in different millenniums, Yuga avatars, and incarnations of empowered living entities, Shaktivesha avatars. So in the Shaktivesha, that includes both the Avesha and the Vibhuti?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the general category is the Shaktivesha.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
This is another categorization within the...
Yeah, which means just another way to appreciate these three things. Means these three features.
Like, the three features are existing, that's the tattva, how they exist.
Okay.
But as definition is given, when they come to the material world, it's called an avatar.
Okay.
And within the avatars, then there are like
then you have this, and they may be any of the three.
Mm.
So?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's another categorization which comes.
It's coming up.
So okay. We always have the six, and now we have within the avesha, we have three extra, which we started to learn about yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, that's a detail within the
avesha. Yeah, they're details. The detail. Just like within the, we had, there was also that point of... Yeah, Tatsama and Taramsa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Which was Vilasa forms and Swamsa forms. And we just need a... How you say? Definition of the Vilas. Swamsa, I understand, just means it's you know, Swamsa means it's a little bit less. You know, it's just like each one comes with, like Mahavishnu, then Garbhodaksha will be a swamsa of him. He's manifesting a little less power. You know, just Mahavishnu is less than Samgarshan, it was less than Vasudeva, it was less than Balaram, less than like that. So in that way, swamsa has that meaning. But then there's generally those who are categorized within swamsa, because otherwise everybody could be called swamsa other than Swayam Krishna. But then so it has a more specific definition. It's just that it's manifesting a very, you know, specific power for a specific purpose. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 21, 245 and 246. Based on the description of the expansions of the Supreme Lord as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 20, the following chart is prepared for reference. Expansions of Lord Krishna. Swayam Rupa, that form which not or is not dependent. That form which is not dependent on others. All forms of Lord Krishna, where he does not give up his nature as Krishna, the son of Yashoda. Like that. So that would be Swayam, when he's always acting that kind of mood. Then Swayam Rupa, the original form of Krishna as Braja Kumar. And Swayam Prakash, when one form manifests in many places and is in all respects the same as the original form. So that would be like in rasa dance and things like that.
Yeah.
No, we're still up in the Swayam Rupa, because you're going to have these.
In many places he may manifest as Krishna, or like in Vraj Krishna he may manifest as Dwaraka Krishna, but he's not giving up that nature.
Mm. He still has that identity.
Yes.
So that would be, is like you say, is that when Krishna is, he may be in that pastime of Dwarka, but when he's with Satyabhama and Rukmini, and he's identifying, they're identifying as the son of Maharaj Nanda, and he's identifying in that way, then you still are dealing with that aspect. So that would be Swayam Prakash?
Yes, Maharaj.
Or that would be... So that's not Swayam Rupa. Swayam Rupa means just in Vrindavan.
Just in Vrindavan, that original form as Raja Kumar.
Okay.
So any form actually is an expansion of that Kaishora form.
Mm.
So they all fall into the category of Prakasha.
Okay. Then, but we see is that other residents of Dwarka, then they don't see him that way, so he doesn't reciprocate in that way, because they see him as the son of Maharaj Nanda. It may be a different situation. So, no?
If they do, see them as Dwarkadish Krishna.
Yes.
Then it falls into the Adhikatma Rupa?
No. Yes, it'll go down. Yeah. So we're talking about the Swayam, because in Swayam, then you have this aspect of, like here. Then in Swayam Prakash, then you have two versions. So then you have manifestation of potencies. Example, Krishna's expansion in rasa dance, while marrying 16,100 princesses in Dwarka, four-handed form manifested at birth, identified with Braja form. So in this, the Swayam Prakash, because it's mentioning the 16,108 princesses, how is that then connected back with the Swayam Prakash?
Maya, it is original Krishna who is doing that. So here where the confusion is, people like many different interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
But this form is Krishna's original form, and Krishna himself identifies with Rajakumara, and he is the one who is expanding.
So you mean any time that he's like thinking the Braj Vasis and things like that, then that's going to be...
Yeah. It's not Vasudeva Krishna, it's Krishna.
So then you're dealing with Swayam Prakash. But in here, Prabhava Prakash.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all Prakasha. So within Swayam Prakash means it's him. Then you have Prabhava and Vaibhava.
Prabhava means where the potency is shown much, Vaibhava is like the mood is prominent. Different.
Oh, okay. So Prabhava are the expanded aspects or something.
Some potency
that there's an expansion like forearm form because he's going to Vrindavan.
I didn't understand.
Vaibhava. No, we're getting to Tadikatma Rupa.
No, I'm saying when you say that Vaibhava Prakash. Because here it says Balaram, for example.
We haven't gotten to Vaibhav yet.
Explain. No?
I didn't. Maybe he did. But yeah. So even you asked the question, I still haven't gotten there yet. So let's read Vaibhava Prakash. Manifestation of excellences based on different mood or color. Example, Balaram, Krishna's two-handed form known as Yadu Kumar, which is identified with the original Braja form. So the idea is that they're always identified back with the original form. That's the whole thing that makes the difference between the Swayam Rupa and then the Tadekatma. The Swayam Rupa, all aspects are Krishna in Braja, expansions of Krishna and Braja that are identified with Krishna and Braja. Does that make sense? So that means that mood, like that. So even like here, he's mentioned here that the forearm form, what he manifested at birth, because it's identified with Braja, because then he'll go to Vrindavan. The forearm form then will take the form of Krishna who goes to Vrindavan. Like that. In other words, when it's connected back to the Braja Leela, like you see, is so much means for us, it will come out so much. So for us, we don't necessarily think about that. But we're always hearing about how Krishna is, you know, remembering about Vrindavan or at night, you know, when he's sleeping, you know, and that Rukmini's telling others how, you know, at night he's always talking about Radharani. He's not saying at night when he has dreams he's talking about Rukmini or anyone from Dwarka. He's talking about them or sometimes about Mother Jashoda, like that. So, or like you see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when he's feeling separation, you know, from Vrindavan, so then that will be that you know, Swayam Rupa or like this, the Vaibhava Prakash, that aspect. So the Prabhav and Vaibhav, basically, of the Prakashas, basically are meaning that there's either an expansion of form, or there's a difference in mood, but it's still identifying back with Krishna there. You know, like Balaram identifies himself as the brother of Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? When he's identifying himself as the brother of Dwarka Krishna, then that will go down to the Tadekatma. As soon as it's not connected with Braj, it's Tadekatma. So it's just a change in the perspective. So like when Krishna then feeling that separation and then they arranged that Vishwakarma made that Nava Vrindavan, Krishna goes there, he's identifying, dealing with everybody, then you're dealing with Swayam Rupa. Right? So they're just worried that he doesn't go back to Vrindavan. So for many of them, it's not important about the Swayamrupa aspect isn't their deity. Does that make sense? So we're seeing it because he is our deity. And so those pastimes are brought out. Does that make sense? When it's just Krishna and Dwarka without those things, those pastimes are given there. I mean, Krishna book talks about that. But then you see many times within that, even he's left Vrindavan, but then he's sending Uddhava because of that, and then they'll talk about that's like this, or we see a Kurukshetra, then he's meeting the Brajvasis. So then you're dealing with this Prakash form of Swayamrupa. But it's still within the Swayamrupa. Yes?
The main difficulty in understanding this whole concept is we already assume that from form comes the mood.
Mm.
It's right. Actually the reverse way, from the mood
comes the form.
So Adiras is Madhuri Ras, which exists in Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
and the Kaishorya form of the Lord is the personified deity of that.
Mm.
And from him all the other rasas expand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason then all the other forms are dependent on
this form. Okay, because all of the rasas, all of the moods. Does that make sense? So if you're taking it, mood is what then, just like in the Brahma Samhita, then you have, I think it's 55th, Yam Kama Krodha Sahaja Pranayari Bhiti Vatsalya Moha Guru Gaurava Sevya Bhavai. So depending on the mood, the devotee has that form. So Mother Jashoda has that rati, so therefore she has the form. It's the perfection for being the mother for Krishna. Because here is we take it, the body, that's how you deal. And then at the same time we say, we're not this body, so then neither we have the physical attributes that define things, and neither do we have the mood, because we couldn't care less about the qualities, you know, and all these different things. We just see this form, I can do this activity, so what does it mean? It's all the same. Is that? Yeah. So then we're starting backwards, because that's what's happened. Krishna's desire, that's been left, and we replaced it with ours. So in one sense, we think it's fine, because everything's based on desire. So it's, you know, instead of being Krishna's desire, it's our desire, so it's all perfect. The child wants, therefore that's the authority for it. Or they want to do that. It's the authority for that. But so do those guys. Those guys want to come over here and you know, blow up your country and take over. So is that all right? Because they want. They really feel like that. They really, you know. So is that okay? No. So the thing is that's why it has to be. If you go by people's desire, that's not enough. It's their desire in the context of Krishna, either directly in devotional service or indirectly through the direction of the scripture that shows how all these different desires, where they go. Someone has desire for money, that goes here. Someone has desire for, you know, being the best in arts, that goes here. Someone has the desire to be the best carpenter, that goes over here. Someone wants to be, you know, controller of everything, and that, he goes up here. He wants to be an officer that deals with controlling everybody, he goes in here. You know, so all that has to be seen, because otherwise, how do you match everybody's desire? So since Krishna has given a place for everybody to express their own desire, there has to be a hierarchy, because it is his kingdom. And so it still has to work. Because, in other words, how it would look if it was in his direct kingdom instead of this indirect kingdom, you know, instead of the prison, which is prison still in the kingdom. You know, so, you know, it still follows his laws. You know, I say, you know, like on the coffee cup, my prison, my laws, right? You know, so. Does that make sense? So that aspect then remains. So we're bewildered because we think, oh, the desire is all there is. No, but that's Krishna's desire. Now, when ours is in line with, it takes on that absolute nature. And because we'll follow that desire, we will only be following the path that particular desire takes. Right? And so that's the thing, is that Mother Jashoda follows the path of that rati. She doesn't go into any other rati, so it has a particular path. And that path, then by following that, it creates the consistency by which then other ratis or other rasas, then they have their path. And they have places where they meet, and that meeting may be favorable, may be neutral, may be inimical. You know, like that. It means the etiquette's always nice. Like you see the gopis, conjugal rasa and parental rasa is inimical. But the gopis always deal nice with Mother Jashoda, and she always deals nice with the gopis. What it means is they can't manifest their rasa. That's why it's inimical. Right? When parents are around, conjugal doesn't work. You can't even say get a room. There's just nothing happens. You know, friendships around, then it's get a room. You know, so therefore then the cowherd boys stay there and Krishna goes off to the bowers and, you know, Radhakund and that, you know, because then he's getting a room. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So the mood then is the most important, and then from that the particular forms and situations. In other words, for a particular mood, which means a particular desire, therefore there's particular activities and qualities that are used to that attains that. And to do something, it doesn't happen just in this space, it happens in a situation. So therefore that situation, that's the jnana shakti, and everything, how mechanically it relates to each other, having the proper attitude and qualities and applying that, that's the kriya, and it's all for the Icha, Krishna's desire. So depending upon that, then that's how it goes. So when Krishna's thinking like that, you know, which is going to be in relationship to devotees, Brajabasis are thinking like that, he's reciprocating that thinking. So it takes on that mood. You know, just like Lord Chaitanya, you'll see him, he's in the mood of Radharani and all that, then there'll be this Swayam aspect. Then you see sometimes he takes on that mood with, I think with Sridhar, that he becomes Varaha or becomes Shringa or like that. So if he's doing in that because they're mood, then he may be taking a different aspect. So makes sense. So it's not that, you know, as he switches, there's a little poof and then, you know, everything changes and the poof and goes back. It's the mood. So some people can catch that. Some people don't. You know, it's just like somebody is there, talking's going on, they suddenly become a little bit quiet. Some people go, oh, what happened? What's going on? Because now they're thinking about something else. But for some people, they don't notice that at all. You know, it has nothing to do with it. Even if it's theirs, hey, let's go, you know. Does that make sense? So that's then what's coming in here. So that, if that that understanding is, or that understanding is appreciated, then it makes it easier to understand this. Because we're trying to make it as physical differences. But there may be external differences, there may not be. Like that. Though we generally see in the Swayam Prabhava Prakash, then, you know, there's you know, 16,108 of Krishna. So that's a little more obvious. But it's because of a mood. He wants to dance with every gopi, or he wants to be with every queen. Therefore, he's expanded. So, yeah. Okay. Then, Tadekatma Rupa. Non-different from the Swayam Rupa, but it appears to be different because of differing shape, activities, etc. All the Vaikuntha expansions are in this category. So, in Goloka, then you have the features of Braj, and you have the features of as the Acharyas say, Gokula, and then Goloka. Right? So Goloka will mean anything other than Braj. So then, when it's in context of Braj, then it will be in the Swayam Rupa. When it's not in the context of Braj, then it will be in Goloka. In that way, it will be Vaikuntha. So, you know, Goloka is considered Maha Vaikuntha, like that. So even in Vaikuntha, they talk about Maha Narayan, who's the, you know, the original, like that. So he's a Goloka, like that. So that's the aspect of Mathura. So what we're seeing is, depending on how it's going, we're seeing that there's Dwarka, then Mathura, and then Braj. So much of the time it's presented perfect, more perfect, most perfect, like that. But at the same time, as you do have the aspect of the position in other definitions, then Mathura will be below Dwarka, because it's from Mathura that you get the expansion of Vaikuntha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just depends. You know, it's just like we saw before. You can take the thing Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, and then you can take the positions, reverse it, and now they become in that way. Because it's just a matter of the mood that you're using. So, yeah.
Also, the devotees who see the Vaikuntha form of the Lord, they only perceive mostly from the Paramatma perspective. That
yes.
So that's the reason then they become dependent forms.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bhagavan is the only independent.
Mm-hmm.
Which we go through. The Swayam Bhagavan is the only independent aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the devotees also have that mood, they see he is God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why then the Tadekatma Rupa becomes different. He may have the same form also.
Yeah. So that would mean you have a devotee who's dealing with Krishna as God, or as part, like it said, it's always said that because the demigods came down for the pastimes and took birth in the Yadu dynasty. And so they see him as Paramatma. So their seeing of Krishna, that will be Tadekatma Rupa. But those from Vrindavan, when they see Krishna, they'll see Swayam Rupa. It's just a matter of the mood, because how he's going to reciprocate. So it's like even in the Braj pastime, Krishna, you know, is Swayam Rupa. He takes the form of Vishnu, the four-handed Vishnu. And the gopis come along and, you know, try to figure out that he's not able to maintain it when Radharani comes. You know, he's able to pull it off with the others, but it's still him taking that form. It's not that he's turned into Vishnu and Vaikuntha and, you know, has nothing to do. Otherwise, if he did, then Radharani wouldn't be attracted.
Also, yeah. That aspect in Kurukshetra comes because all the other devotees in Dwarka, they see him as God.
Right.
So he has a form like a god, like yeah. Decorated with like a kingly appearance.
Right.
But when the Vrajavasis see, no, this doesn't match to.
Yeah, it's just like Vraja Krishna just dressed up like a king, but it's not actually.
So when you see as Bhagavan, then the god aspect goes on the background and whatever mood the matches. That's why the mention of original form as Vraja Kumar. The prominence is given on the form, but it actually is the mood of that form.
Yeah. So, a little closer.
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to teach it, So I'm very attentive.
Okay.
Not going into that kind of level of complexity, but.
Yeah. Because it is quite a confusing because of this overlay of mood. So, like this form that you see that we have here, we've stayed with Lord Chaitanya as Swayam Rupa Tadekatma Navesha, because that's always defined that way, and then how it connects. But generally, all other charts aren't put in this context.
Yeah.
They're always put together. Anything that's Dwarka, that's put all here, and anything is Braj put over here, and this is that, and they try to make a thing, and it doesn't make any sense because the overlaps are so. So here you see overlaps, but because if you understand its mood, that's where the change comes between one and the other, between the Swayam Rupa and the Tadekatma. In Avesha, then we know that that's going to be a jivas, like that. But within the Vishnu Tattva, then what is Swayam, what's Tadekatma? So it depends upon the mood and how it's seen.
Yeah.
And so then you know, because if that's appreciated, then it also it comes into our life is that it does it please Krishna? Because that's the thing. Then the form is proper. But we take it. No, this is a good form. Well, you know, we're doing something mechanically right. That's good. It's good because it's mechanically right. Then of course I connect it to Krishna. But my value is the mechanical form. Right, so then, being that's my identity, so there's an identity with it. Then I give it to Krishna. So it's renunciation, but it's not sannyas, because sannyas means it's about pleasing Krishna. This mechanical form can be used to please Krishna in my position and my nature. Therefore, I'm doing that because it pleases Krishna. The other, I'm doing it because that's what I like to do. and then I connect that to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of understanding that, because otherwise without that, then so much of the time it's talking about, oh, but they feel like it, and other times, no, it's the rule, you know, but no, but what he's doing is against the rule. No, but he feels like it. You know, but what about him? He feels, oh, it's the rule. So in other words, what moods you can identify with it, that gel with your ideas or with your values, then it becomes, you know, natural and spontaneous and obvious, and those things you don't, it's the rule. Because otherwise, other than the rule, you can't relate to it. Yes?
The difficulty in this kind of explanation is that we're dealing with the form, which is fixed. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like constantly changing.
So you're saying if it's a cabbage, it's a cabbage. It's not going to become a cauliflower.
No.
Or a banana.
Or a
banana.
No. So, but then, as you're trying to explain it.
That was the right word, as I'm trying to explain
it. Srila Prabhupada always. His explanation is perfect, but he's saying, just try to understand.
Yes.
People, the difficulty with the mood, it's constantly changing. Like if we take the extreme example, the Kurukshetra,
mm-hmm.
Krishna is there, and if we look from the perspective of Brajavasis or Dvarkavasis, they have their own mood.
Mm-hmm.
But what about him? You know, he's like, He's simultaneously mm-hmm. this and that,
yeah.
and he's reciprocating. So the form, why, I'm just thinking, why the form is easier, because it is fixed, it is stable.
Yes.
But the mood is changing, and it's often with Krishna, why also others prefer different forms of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because their mood more or less. Consistent. Yeah, but Krishna, it's too controversial. So dealing with that, people not interested. So they say, yeah, this or that, or like in Mathura, which is transitory state basically. Sometimes he has two arms, sometimes he has four arms, according to the mood.
Mm-hmm.
But then. In devotee's mind, it's too confusing. We have to, like, two arms or four arms. I mean, come on, you know, make up your mind. So this becomes the difficulty. So in the explanation of most everybody, like you mentioned, the chart, you know, general categorization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I'm not saying it's easy to understand. It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it will make an immediate sense that yeah, we somehow or other we clarified most of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But then this, and I mean, we are on the 12th year of the study.
Mm-hmm.
So this.
Yeah, but the difficulty comes is when one goes for those simpler ones without using how Prabhupada does the simpler ones, later on it will come around, people will trip and fall over.
That's the
difficulty, is most people think, oh, we're being practical, so we're giving some simplistic thing that only lasts for the neophytes.
Yeah.
And then when you're dealing with madhyamas or like that, it doesn't work at all. And then, you know, then it's just a matter of, well, you just follow what we say. When it's like, we're following what the acharyas say. If you're saying what the acharyas say, we follow you. You're not saying what the acharyas say. On what basis do you say we should listen to you? You know, why? What's your authority? You know, because here, It's a matter of finding the simplest way to say it. So you just say Swayam Rupa means the independent form, Tadekatma means the dependent form, and Avesha means Jivas, who are a dependent form. And then that becomes very simple. That's the simple. Just like Ekadasi means no grains or beans. You know, follow that. If you want to get into more, it's Bahu Bija, or it's this, or it's that. Great, but then the point is that consistent with your lifestyle? You know what I'm saying? If you go to the bathroom, in the bathroom you wash your hands, mouth, and feet, you know, properly, and just don't, you know, in other words, where the toilet is, that area in front, you don't walk across it again, And if your bathroom is unfortunately made where you have to walk across it, before you walk across it, you'll wash the floor there. Right? Then, having gone outside the bathroom, then there's another station of water where now it means that the other one is just to get rid of impurity. Now, then there's a more water where you will again wash your, you know, hands, mouth, and feet, because now you bring yourself to the house purity. Right? If that's your standard of cleanliness, now we can talk about, you know, how many seeds are inside. The tomatoes are on Mahu Beach and cucumbers and portals, so you can't eat them on a cottage seed. Then you can do that. But if it's not, why one's doing that? You know, it's like you got a tricycle and you're trying to figure out how to stick the, you know, how you say, W16, you know, how you say, double turbocharged motor into it. And, you know, it's like, you know, how does that work? You're just, you're riding a tricycle because if it has two wheels, you fall over. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that is the mood and the Krishna conscious viewpoint that anybody can catch. You just have to bring it to the simplest possible, but it's on that level. But when we try to do it by detail without the other one, then the problem is they will then make complicated detail on the other side. You know, so it's like so many complicated details by the self-help gurus. But at the same time, on Krishna consciousness, oh no, we're not fanatic, we don't get into all that stuff, we're just simple. It's just, well, the other thing is just simple, just make money, just be successful. You know, like that, why do you need the detail? No, without the detail, well, how? Why not on this side the detail? You know, so that's the thing, is that it's looked at, you know, from the form and not from the mood. Because that's all we have. Our mood is wrong. If we're in the material world, our mood is wrong. And so all we have is form of things, situation of things, time of things, and what you can do with those things. You know, that gets you results according to your desire. So then you have to switch that to, it's about Krishna's desire. So therefore, these things and these situations and these times with ourselves, what could be done that would be pleasing to Krishna? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to switch the consciousness. So that's why it says you don't have to change the situation, because your kitchen will remain the same. You just switch it from it's for ourselves to it's for Krishna. That's all you're doing. You know? Does that make sense? And also, when you're coming from a background where everything you do practically is wrong, you know, then there's so much change that then you think that's Krishna consciousness. No, it's about you bringing things closer to Krishna. So whatever your position, you do that. So if someone's attached to their Western diet, their Western lifestyle like that, great, but use it for Krishna. And we'll call that the very beginning stage. You know, it's a Aropya city. You like it, so therefore you think it's important for Krishna. You know, I like pizza, therefore Mother Jashoda must cook pizza. Pizza is the best, so Mother and spiritual world is the best, so Mother Jashoda must cook a fabulous pizza. You know? And so that the point is, it's about ourselves. It's Aropya. It's about ourselves. It means we're connecting to Krishna, so that's glorious. But it's the very beginning stage. And then try to make that into a complete philosophy. That's the mistake of all these systems. Like trying to make capitalism complete. You know, or communism complete, or anarchy complete. It can't. None of these. It all has to work together. It has its place. Is that?
Yeah.
So it has to be emphasized. It's about the mood, and they have to catch that. Even though you keep it simple, but it's about the mood. Then it'll go. Otherwise, why is this all explained? Like a nectar devotion and these other things, because these are going, it's about Krishna's mood. It's about rasa. And it's about, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So you have the mood of Vaikuntha, he reciprocates Vaikuntha. And you have a few examples of one of the qualities of Krishna, is that when he comes into an assembly, then he can deal with everyone according to their mood. And he's seen differently by all of them. You know, so when he walks into the the wrestling arena. You have, that's one major example, and I think there's another one in Vrindavan that comes home. So Mother Jashoda's there, the gopis are there, the cowherd boys are there, the cows, and all these different people. I think it even mentions the demon is off there on the side, you know, one of them, Aristasura or Keshi or somebody. And so they all see him differently, and he reciprocates with each one of them appropriately. And you also see just the etiquette aspect of it is brought out, like when Prithumaraj, after when he comes into the kingdom, each person he's reciprocating according to that. Also when Krishna comes into Dwarka, then it's talking about how each person needs reciprocation. So there's an etiquette there that he's doing, so there's a form of it going, but at the same time, it's with each person, the mood, the this, that, he's adjusting. You know, it's just like you're there with all, let's say you're at a person is at a, you know, is there with his son and he meets somebody, it's a very formal kind of thing like that. And, you know, and that other person, let's say, is very much identifying with his, you know, that formal kind of thing. So the father will be there, the son will be there, and, you know, he'll say, oh, okay, you know, be quiet and this and that. So then he's dealing and all that and it's getting very formal. But if there's any moment where something happens and that person looks the other way, he'll look down at his son like, you know, isn't this guy a trip? You know, kind of, you know what I'm saying? That's what's happening. It's the same person, but to the other person, he's the guy who does this, but for the son, he's just the father. But okay, father does these things, that's why the Brajbasi is, okay, Krishna does, he has to be in Dwarka, he has to do these things, therefore, he is dressing like a king and all that, but, you know, that's not our Krishna, even though they're dealing with their Krishna. You know, and the Dwarkavasis is that his is our Krishna. He happened to grow up in the forest and all that. You know, but now that he's in Dwarka, now he naturally dresses and deals in this way. So like that, like we were saying before, is that the devotees, they can either only function exactly within their sphere, they can without being able to accommodate anybody else's position. Then you have those who can accommodate someone else's position, but, you know, it doesn't bother their position. Then you have those who can appreciate the other positions, and it inspires them in their own devotion. Like Bhishmadev is inspired by the gopis' full surrender, so he wants to fully surrender, not as a gopi, in his particular attraction, his particular rasa. So that's why the gopis are an inspiration for all the Vaishnavas, at least those who appreciate the third grade of Vaishnavas. They all appreciate. So the gopis, by all of them, are seen as the most surrendered. Everybody sees that. Even the personified Vedas, they're appreciating that. So it's important that one may make a thing to do that, but he doesn't think, oh, now it's taken care of. You may have to say something to do that, but then later on, it'll come up and you try to explain it. Because if they don't understand it now, that means just you need more association with the Bhagavatam, the Vaishnavas, the holy name and all that. So what doesn't make sense today, when it comes up again after a few months, then may start to. So we don't stick to in that, because that means we're attached to the lower step. So even though someone's there more attached, like I've seen those who are very much attached to their own conditioned lifestyle, and they preach on that level, you can use it. Now let's say someone gets purified and he wants to, in Bhajana Kriya, be more involved in more traditional kind of activities or dress or food. They discourage them from that. Oh, you don't have to do that. It's not necessary. That becomes actually demoniac. It's not devotional at all. Right? For themselves it may be progressive, but for someone else it's not. So it's just like you're on the first step, you're going to go to the second step, but they say, no, the first step is fine. The first step is the same as the top step. It's no different. Just by standing on the first step, you'll magically be on the top step. That's false, that's bogus. But that someone's on that first step and they got there by this attitude, that's fine. But then to try to remain there and make a philosophy to remain there, that would be wrong. So the same way as when you're training, if you see there's something, you keep it as simple as possible, but don't close the door on the principle. You try to present the principle in the simplest way. And so, because the principle makes more sense than the detail, because our conditioning is based on details, but the soul, its nature is based on the principles. So it's actually easier to explain the principles if you can simplify them down to the most core point. Because much of the time we're talking principle, we'll be talking some details. So it's a matter of how to explain the principle without using those technical details, by using something that's common to them. That's what Srila Prabhupada was expert at. That's why those who are, you know, uninformed, they think Prabhupada was just giving basics, when actually he's giving the topmost. Like that. Because he didn't have an attachment to the technical words, like we were talking the other day. How is this person to all the technical things and can talk so great and all that? That's because he's just attached to those technical kind of terms. Could he explain the same thing without those terms? That would be the test. The person can sit there and say all the Sanskrit. Nice, that's good. That means they've studied, they're familiar with it, it means something to them, they can explain in that way, that's great. But then, the thing is, would they be able to explain to an audience where those words mean nothing? The same thing, and get it across that it would have a, you know, it would create an impression. Then you can say, okay, now this is something. Otherwise, you associate with something enough, like a parrot, it associates, and it talks all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, I've seen things where a parrot, you know, can bark like a dog. You know, the dog's sitting there, and the parrot comes up to it and starts barking like a dog. The dog, what? You know, so what did you say? You know, so. That's it's good because you're associating, but at the same time, as unless you can explain it on that level, you haven't really gotten down. So that's the thing that's not understood about the founder Acharya. He's able to present, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakura, right? Because in our line, anybody who's dealing with all these other kind of strange things and all that, it'll begin with Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Means no one's going to say anything about Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladev, because they were working basically within the Vedic kind of scenario, though they could work with the Muslims, which weren't, but the culture was fairly similar because there was still that personal aspect, right? So it still had that Asian flavor, right? Well, with Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he started to work with the Westerners from their viewpoint. So anybody who has a critique of our sampradaya, it won't start before, it'll start with Bhaktivinoda Thakura, or with Bhaktisiddhanta, or with Srila Prabhupada. And so as soon as that comes up, then you know that they don't understand. They don't know what they're talking about. Because otherwise they're saying the same thing, they're just saying in a language that you can get it across to hear. Otherwise, then others do, but they get it across as, you know, making money or this or that. So, you know, they just find a religious side that's common and use that rather than the philosophical. So you always want to make sure is that in doing, you don't make it, you explain it as simple as possible, as straightforward as possible, but not with anything that it's going to create problems for you later. Because otherwise, then later, then, you know, so when you explain it later and you're giving more, the point of the attitude or the mood, that's going to be common. You're getting into more detail, but they have some connection, and then you can go. Even though, so connection all the way through is the mood, the rasa. But then here's less detail, more detail than that. Does that make sense? Otherwise, it will come around and cause trouble, as we see. And it's like before, is that, you know, it's like the reinitiation. No sampradaya does it. It's just not done. If you've taken Vaishnav Diksha from sampradayic person, it's never redone. No sampradaya does it. But, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions if you've taken from a caste Goswami or someone who's just like that, they're not actually a sampradayic Brahmin, then you can do that ceremony again. It's not a problem. It's not, you have it, because he says you can't have two Diksha Gurus. So you don't have, because the first one's not technically a Diksha Guru. So based on that point alone, then the whole process came up. And why is it seen as valuable? Because the neophytes they see everything externally. So if I go through a ritual, then now I feel good, I'm purified, I'm inspired, now I have a new guru and all that. But then as it keeps going and problems happen, then you get the Italians saying, how you say, buy nine, get one for free. And so then nobody cares anymore. So now it's not that the position, you can bring it to what the tradition is. It's not necessary. It's that no one talks about it. Does that make sense? Because they've taken a position that is not actually correct, but it works for neophytes from their mundane viewpoint. And then later, when you're dealing more mature, it doesn't work, and then there's a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah, so one wants to avoid that kind of so-called, being practical, that simplistic kind of thing. Because Prabhupada is not, it's not simplistic, it's very deep. He's just using an example that you can relate to. You know, we in our environment, our culture can relate to. But the point he's making is very deep. You know, like he's talking about Prahlad Maharaj. That for Prahlad Maharaj, this is his Lord, so it doesn't matter that, you know, what's going on. So all the demigods are afraid because they're afraid of their position. They don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, you know, looking at Hiranyakashipu, it didn't work out for him. So, but Prahlad Maharaj is no problem. It's just his Lord. And so the Lord's come to protect Prahlad Maharaj and all that. And so how he can have these, you know, or these contradictions, like Prabhupada's talking about, he killed him, you know, with no weapon, right? Because that was one of the conditions. And so, but his hands are like a lotus. So the Prabhupada's pointing out, where do you see a lotus with nails so fierce that they can, you know, pierce, they could kill Hiranyakashipu? So this is a seeming contradiction, but that's the point. And the Lord, then his mood, you know. So no one's seen anger like that. Lakshmiji's never seen. So they don't know how to relate. But it all fits. It all fits the mood and all that kind of thing. And so for Prahlad Maharaj, because he's innocent, therefore, you know, Brahma says, you know, go and pacify. He goes to her, offers obeisances, starts talking. Like that, like children will. But, you know, basically what's implying the others aren't. You know, especially the demigods. Lakshmi is in her own category. She just doesn't know if I've never seen this form, so I'm not exactly sure if this is my husband or not. You know, so I'm not going to deal with him. You know, you're the man, you deal with it. You know, when I know it's him, then I'll deal. So, but the demigods, they're not innocent because they have their own things that they want. And so Prabhupada talks all these things and makes this, you know, point, these points. And so he's just giving these very simple examples. But the depth of what he's talking about is just based on the rasa, the relationship, that surrender, that intimacy between the devotees, and that's why it's so pleasant. You know, so devotees will catch that, but then if they keep things simplistic, it means how much you know. I only know that much, but I have full like that. That's fine. You will get full effect from that. You talk that to someone else, you'll get effect. But if more comes along, and we don't get into all this. But at the same time, I'm spending 24/7, you know, reading, you know, modern books on some kind of technical thing, and I won't analyze and read, you know, the works of the acharyas. You know, Prabhupada's books and the Vedic literatures. Now there's something wrong. There's actually something wrong in the consciousness. And even though you won't see it today, you will see it later. You know, as we see now, issues that have been dealt with, you know, time and time again over the last, you know, like 40 years, they keep coming up even more vehemently as if there's something new and so important. They're not any more important today than they were then. And the answer is the same as then. But it just keeps coming up because people won't let go of the anartha. So you have to be very careful. Just don't give it an opportunity to stay. In other words, you give an opportunity for someone to connect their attachment to Krishna. You don't give them an opportunity to develop their attachment for the anartha. So that way you know, okay, now I'll say it like this and let it go, because otherwise, you know, nobody can function. And then later, when it comes up again, you discuss it again. It's like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes really easy. Yes.
Also, after going through this many times, I realized one thing. Any acharya in our line mentioned any detail on Krishna Leela, sometimes we come across, oh, something very important detail. It's all in here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so many times repeated by Prabhupada mm-hmm. and other acharyas. So when we understand this, we understand like what they're trying. There's nothing like new coming up.
No, it's just deeper. Because that's the point about principle. It's all right there. You can see. It's just like you have Krishna. Nothing new. It's just that from that there's unlimited detail that can come out. But it's not that there's going to be a new Krishna. So.
And also all the pastimes in Bhagavatam make more sense because later on these all are used to quote how Swayam Bhagavan, like Bhagavatam mentions how Swayam Bhagavan Krishna.
Yeah.
And he is independent and all other forms, even Narayana is dependent on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when they're talking about his independent position, they're talking about Bhagavan, when they're talking about his controller of everything, they're talking about the Paramatma. Because they're all him. It's just different features of him.
Krishna's the Bhagavan Swayam, that Swayam is the Swayam Rupa.
Yeah.
Restaurant Tadekar.
Okay, so now then in Tadekatma Rupa, then here comes the fun. So as here before, we saw Swayam Rupa, then Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash. Then from Swayam Prakash, we got Prabhav Prakash and Vaibhav Prakash. You know, they're coming under. You know, you have the two, and then like that, and then it goes down like this. So it works, you know, nicely up there. But then from the Vaibhav, then you get the Tadikatma Rupa, which then goes into Vilas. From the Vaibhav Prakash, you get the Vilas, right? Tadikatma Rupa, Vilas. But from Vilas, then you get the Prabhav, then you get the Vaibhav, you know, like up here you get the Prabhav, but then it goes up into the Swamsa, and then it goes down to Avesha. Do we do it like that just because there's no room to put Swamsa underneath, or this is what
Maharaj, both are the categorizations of Tadekatma.
Okay, so you have Vilas and Swamsa.
Are the categorizations from Tadekatma, but actually from Vaibhav Vilas is where Swamsas are generally expanding. When you go by the
okay.
Tatva, how they expand.
Okay. Yeah, so then it's just, you know, so this is where more confusion comes up. But if you follow it, it works very nicely. So Vilas, form which is different from the original form for performing different pastimes, and which is very very slightly less in qualities. Then Prabhav Vilas.
Maharaj, this is where Narayana form, we discuss about 60
okay.
qualities.
Oh, okay, yes. So it means that this is at the Chaturvyuha.
Yeah. So basically, if you have to go beyond Godhood, those four extra qualities, then it has to move to the Swayam Rupa.
Mm.
And because the devotee cannot see in that relation, and basically the three important verses, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, only they can see, you know, appreciate the personal aspect. So
mm-hmm.
those four aspects of qualities of the Lord, which came to that level of intensity, is because of that personal aspect.
Hmm. So I mean, let's say in Vaikuntha, when Gopal Kumar is there, because he's only worshipping Swayam Krishna.
Yes.
And but so he sees that Vishnu is Krishna, and so he's dealing with him as Krishna, but then he gets, you know, pulled to the side, said, you know, chill, right? And so then, you know, he's sitting out there alone after everyone goes, and then Vishnu shows up, forearms everything like that, and then tells him, you know, don't worry like this, and then takes two arm form, all the cows are there, he's playing his flute and everything. So that then you can see is that it's the same person, because he's dealing with that, therefore he's manifesting that form. So it's not that from Vishnu came to Swayam Rupa. No, Krishna from Swayam Rupa, he's taking that Tadikatma Rupa form, and then when the devotee who's dealing with it, goes back into there. But in here, then it changes form. Because Vishnu in Vaikuntha is actually manifesting a different kind of mood, form, how he dresses and all that. But Krishna in Dwarka is the same Krishna, but it's opulence. He's just adding more opulence.
Which is called Vasudeva.
Yes. But then with that, because that'll be those with moods, so it's Vaikuntha. So it's just Maha Vaikuntha, so you have five rasas instead of two. But it's still... So that's the whole thing. It's just that mood. Because you can say it's the devotee, but Krishna being everything and containing all, you know, being the sum total of all the qualities, everything, then how do you reciprocate it depends on the devotee. That's the difficulty in, you could say, in contemporary society, is there's not necessarily a understanding of rasa and how to deal with different people in different ways. You don't have that exposure. And so then it's not very developed. So then you just want to see everything mechanically, like you were saying, that external. It just becomes mechanical, or, you know, what's the external form, so you deal. And even then, sometimes they don't. You can see, like, let's say, it's always been there, but especially like the contemporary teenagers, then even the mechanical form doesn't matter. They'll do whatever they want, playing video games on their phone, no matter what the situation is. Even if it's a situation that previously you would be formal in, that you wouldn't do that stuff. Nowadays, they don't care, because it's my desire, that's all that matters. So they're just going down into anamoy, and it's just their feelings. It's not even civilized. It comes down like the animals, just what you feel like you do, but it's not sophisticated. You know, they create their own culture, you know, how they dress, how they talk, how they walk, and everything like that, and value on that. And so then they become, you know, more like a specific group of animals. So, yeah.
I think, therefore, Mayavada is so popular. Mm-hmm. Because behind this, you know, you can do anything. Basically.
That's it. Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentions that the reason that even though Mayavad philosophy has a very specific philosophy, so your contemporary Mayavadis aren't technically following Shankara, but the principle of it, that everything's illusion, nothing exists, and so you just create your own, it'll accommodate anything bogus other than Vaishnava. So even technically you could say is there's Vaishnavas and there's Mayavadis. So even the other schools can be seen there as impersonalists. And impersonal ultimately gets to, you know, it'll have that atheist thing. Though they believe God's there and this and that. You know. But it's very fine. So it accommodates everything. So basically you have the proper and then you have the illusory. You know, just because Shankara is based on renunciation while the modern Mayavada is based on sense gratification. So you can take the Mayavada and you apply it through the Vedic principles of the soul and renunciation. Then they're situated in Vijnanamaya. But you take the modern Mayavada, they're situated in Anamaya. Like that.
Domesticated Mayavadi.
Yeah, domesticated Mayavadi. Yeah. So then it's very unfortunate. But yeah, but it's the same. That's why then the Mayavad philosophy is so important. We think, you know, when's the last time you met a, you know, Ekadandi, you know, Mayavad, some, you know, initiated, you know, like that. Some have never met or never talked to. I've seen them. I don't bother talking with them. Like that, but the thing is that, you know, but it's not. It's the same thing. It's just done down on without the Vedic conclusions. The bottom line is, they want to be God, and they want to be God as the, the controller, you know, from envy, and they want to be God the enjoyer, like that. So it's all, or any combination. Okay, Prabhav Vilas. First Chaturvyuha, forms of Vasudev, Sankarshapa, Jumna, Aniruddha, manifested in Dwarka and Mathura. Right, so here you see, because we have up here, we have the, you know, his Prabhav Prakash's expansions with the princes in Dwarka, and then, Yadu Kumar, and that is in the Vaibhav Prakash, but they're still in Swayamrupa, because it's still Krishna in that same original form, just taking these different pastimes with the different devotees. But then you see is that Prabhav, then he's Asudev Sankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha is manifested in Dwarka Mathura. So that would be for those devotees who see him as God. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it can be the same thing. It's just that, you know, in the same place, he's both, depending upon what you're looking at. Like that. Then Vaibhav Vilas. Second chakra view have forms of Vasudev Sankarshan Pradyumna Adiruddha, and five expansions from each of these, which enumerate the 24 Vishnu forms manifest in Vaikuntha. So then you get down to the Vaikuntha. So the second, then they go into Vaikuntha. So does that mean the Purusha avatars, they're coming from this second Sankarshan or from the first Sankarshan?
Purusha avatars come from this Swam Shaka Sankarshan.
They're coming from Swamsa. Okay, so they're coming from the
basically,
second.
They are part of Swamsa, Purushottas.
Okay. Then Swamsa is form which is similar to but manifests fewer powers than the Vilas form. Examples are the forms of Sankarshana and Matsya and their abodes in the spiritual world, Purushavatars, etc. And Avesha, then from Swamsa, then you get the Avesha. So generally those are all coming from Kiridaksha. Mm-hmm. Then avatars, directly empowered incarnations, such as the four Kumaras, Narada, Maharaj, I take it that as Prithu, and, because in my book it didn't print, Parasuram, I think, Parasuram, etc. Vibhutis, indirect powered personalities, such as the demigods,
sages like
Bhrigu, Sukracharya, okay, so that means like all the planets. They have a quality, you know, they have their karakas, you know, so one's in charge of banks and this and that. Yes?
We say avatars.
And yes.
Usually they refer to the Lord.
Yes.
When we say avatars in here,
that's the Shakya Vesh. Okay. So in the avatar things, all the first five are Vishnumurtis. Right? Then you get Aveshas, means then you get Shakti Avesha. That will be these Avesha Rupas who are that avatars and Vibhutis.
Because we always say Matya,
Avatar, Purma, Avatar. Yeah, just avatar mentioned, where did we go? Where did it? Where was that point? He gave a description of avatar.
Yeah, before.
Oh, if the forms previously disguised, Swayam Rupa Tadya Katma Ravesha, appear in this world as ever unique, either directly or through an agent, for certain purposes in the material world, they are known as avatars. So that means any of the forms of the Lord coming here, those are avatars.
An agent will be the Avesha.
Is that? Yeah, the agent will be the Avesha. Like that. So, Avesha Rupa and Shakti Avesha, it's the same. It's just, if you're looking at it from the six kinds of avatars, because it means the Swayam Rupa and Tadya Katma, these are the forms of the Lord, right? Then, bringing this, because, you know, from Swamsa and that, then the Vesha, you'll see them in the material world, but the Swamsa and Tadya Katma also come into the material world for certain functions. So that way, then you get six kinds of avatars. So when this list is coming into the material world, then they get categorized as in that list of six.
That six list is mainly based on their functions within the material world. They're categorized as Manvantara avatars,
yes.
Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Purusha avatars, like that.
So, yeah, it's in the context of the material world, what they're doing, the action. You appear in this world at every unique, you know, for certain purposes in the material world. So technically, Vaikuntha Pati is not an avatar. He's just an expansion of Krishna. That's what I said. This is the list of expansions of Lord Krishna. You know, so even the natures are expansions. But now when you're seeing it in the context of the material world, then that is the avatars. Because the expansions that are here, that are in the Paravyoma, they're not avatars. Avatar simply means, because I think avatar means to come down.
Mm-hmm. To descend.
To descend. So even if it's jivas in this world, then it's still the potency descends. And so then you see that. So either he personally descends with the qualities, or those qualities are empowered to a jiva, or to some degree to, as a vibhuti. You know, there's some special quality. So, yeah.
Just to end before ending, these vibhutis and all, whoever get that potency, is also among the avaranas, the last avarana in the spiritual world.
Oh, it's the eighth.
Seventh.
Oh, there's only seven. Okay, seven. So the avaranas are there, and then coming into the material world, then they become the vibhutis.
Okay. Shaktis.
You haven't made a list of that one.
We
that's coming up. That's coming up.
Towards the end of this book.
That's from the Pancharatrik, where you start with Lakshmi Narayan, and you go out and all the different, the seven circles. Like that. Then you can see where everyone fits, what's the hierarchy.
That's in
Laghu Bhagavatam. That's in Laghu Bhagavatam.
Upcoming,
yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
And the question might come, why is it called avatar?
Yeah, no, that's the thing, because you have these different lists.